happy day.
Oh, happy day.
When Jesus wore.
When Jesus wore.
Oh, when he wore.
When Jesus wore.
When Jesus wore.
When Jesus wore.
He washed my sins away. Happy day.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. We're going to be talking about how a high fiber intake can improve your lung function from the University of Nebraska. And also, we're going to look at parents and teachers are unaware of mental benefits of good childhood nutrition from the University of Surrey in the United Kingdom. We're also going to explore new research shows that each hour of sedentary time, that means lazy time, you're not doing anything, is associated with a 22% increased risk of developing type 2 diabetes. That means that most people are going to end up developing diabetes. And in fact, right now in the United States, half of all adults have diabetes. Half. And that is from University of the Netherlands. Also, folate, which we get as folic acid, during pregnancy can improve a child's attention span. That's good news. And we're going to also explore how if you take a look at a particular type of honey, quote, discovered that it kills all bacteria scientists throw at it. And it's a mysterious honey. And the health benefits of raw, unprocessed honey are well known. But in Australia, scientists recently made a startling discovery that one particular obscure type of honey is capable of killing just about everything scientists throw at it, including some of the worst bacteria known. And this was published in the European Journal of Clinical Microbiology and Infectious Disease. Wow. So what is that? You'll find out. And also, for the people who ask, could the singer who died, Glenn Frey, who was one of the co-founders and of the Eagles, could he have lived? There's no reason for him to have died. None. Oh, there is. Complications from rheumatoid arthritis medication? Yeah. He was only 67. So we'll give you why he actually, in all probability, died. It was not the arthritis. It was the medications. Also, I'm going to do a special report today from Yes Magazine, from Ken Eckhart, called If There Are No New Farmers, Who Will Grow Our Food? Programs across the country are trying to make it easier for new farmers to get started and put down roots. Well, there's only one farmer under 35 for every six over 65. That means that a lot of old farmers are retiring. Young ones are not taking their place. And we don't have a lot of farmers to begin with. I have a solution. I'll go into that in some depth. And time permitting today, I also want to share some insights on some other issues, including listening to some really rare and probably never before by this audience heard audio clip first in the promotion of DDT. Wow, what a great product. Everybody should just dust it on their body every day. And then we have the other report from Rachel Carson, the author of Silent Spring. These are rare historical audio clips to let you know where a lot of that nonsense came from. Also today, time permitting, part three of our ongoing in-depth investigative report, Making a Killing, the Untold Story of Psychotropic Drugs. And there's going to be about 10 parts altogether. I intend to hold a press conference within the next 12 months at which I will be presenting a point-for-point scientific pushback, a response to every one of the DMS Diagnostic and Statistical Manual number 5, the latest version, the Bible of Psychiatry, that every one of their statements in there are scientifically invalid. I will have a group of leading psychiatrists, including professors of psychiatry. I will have peer-reviewed literature, over 1,000 studies, and I will have my new documentary that I've been working on, Manufacturing Madness. So, to the psychiatric field, my goal is to encourage people not to jump into taking drugs before they know what they're doing, because there is going to be a consequence. So we're going to get to part three today, so you can have a little bit more knowledge. Oh, and you know that epidemic that's going on now that everybody's very concerned about, and rightly so? Well, we have a different Zika virus outbreak. What would be another explanation? Because they're clueless. We're not so clueless. The New York Times talked about one woman getting it from having sex with a man who had visited that part of the world and was infected. Mm-hmm. That's the best you can do, New York Times, with all your resource? Wow. Well, let's go do the real story today. Oliver Tickell from Counterpunch, Pandora's Box, how genetically modified mosquitoes could have caused the Zika virus outbreak. The truth today. Let's begin. We have a lot to share. I want to start off with this idea on this honey. I thought this was kind of interesting because I'm going to quote this. This is from Alt Health. The findings of this miracle honey, raw unprocessed honey, rare and obscured, out in the backlands of Australia, that can kill, quote, some of the worst bacteria known to man, and published in the European Journal of Clinical Microbiology and Infectious Disease, and could hold special significance at a time when many of the world's top antibiotics are failing, especially against resistant superbugs. The honey in question is known as Manuka, which is produced in New Zealand and also goes by the name of jellybush honey. The honey has become so popular in the past few years that shortages have been reported and fake products have been sold, leading New Zealand Manuka producers to seek trademark protection. Manuka honey kills MRSA and other superbugs. Manuka honey is created by bees foraging on the nectar of the New Zealand Manuka bush, which is Leptospermum, and it's well known that Manuka honey is powerful in New Zealand and Australia. It's native to both. Now, in the aforementioned studies, Australian researchers found that the honey killed every single bacteria or pathogen it tested on, according to a report in The Australian. The honey can be applied topically to help fight against infections of the skin, cuts, and insect bites, and taken internally. The most exciting difference with the Manuka honey that was tested is that none of the superbugs killed by the honey were able to build up immunity, a common problem with today's antibiotics. Quote from the study, new antibiotics tend to have short shelf lives as the bacteria they attack quickly become resistant, according to Dr. D. Carter of the University of Sydney School of Molecular and Microbiological Biosciences. Quote, many large pharmaceutical companies have abandoned antibiotic production because of the difficulty of recovering cost. Developing effective alternatives could therefore save many lives. According to Dr. Carter, the Manuka, M-A-N-U-K-A, U-K-A, honey, contains a compound called methyl glycosol that combines with other unknown compounds to cause multi-system failure that destroys the bacteria. And there's only two places that we know that it's grown, New Zealand and Australia. So, quote, I've done a fair amount of research when a friend of ours got MRSA, and then, unfortunately, I got to it, said user. Thankfully, I'd already done the research, so I knew exactly what to do. Good. This audience, all of you listening, you first heard about Manuka over 15 years ago and 1,000 times since. And how many people right now, including a gentleman who was going to have a leg amputated, foot amputated, use Manuka honey, among other things? And today, according to photos that we have before and after that you, sir, took up on our website, you're completely healed. No amputation. You can thank Manuka honey as being one of the important ingredients in that. So I'm happy to share that with you. It's just kind of interesting, the things we talk about here, years, sometimes decades later, become flash news, something heals. Yeah, we're way ahead of that. But still, it's good to know, because now maybe other people, because it was in official publications and scientific literature, they'll start using it also. I get this all the time. There's an awful lot of musicians who are dying. Is it a conspiracy? Did they discover something like all those doctors who died who discovered nothing? There was no conspiracy to kill those doctors. I investigated. But all over the internet, another dead doctor. Yeah, people die. Sometimes those people are doctors. I knew two of those people. And I knew that they were not healthy. So there are a lot of reasons why people die. It's just that they get hooked on this idea that somehow they were investigating different aspects of vaccination and autism, and that was the reason. No evidence for that. It'd be no different than if we said, my goodness, look at how many famous musicians have died in the last 12 months. A lot of them. Then I could say, well, look how many actors died. A lot. Is there a conspiracy? No. You can go back and look at cause and effect. In the case of the musicians, not that difficult. I would, in my personal opinion, I would put at the top of my list choices made earlier in their life that were clearly detrimental to parts of their body, their liver, their kidneys, their brain, their immune system. And then they stop and they don't do those things anymore, hopefully. And then one day they end up with cancer or a heart attack. And people say, but they were only 62 or 67 or 70 or 73. Not their body, not their organs. Based upon what they did on a daily basis, all the nights partying without sleep, taking drugs, drinking, whatever they did. I wasn't there. I can't tell you what they did. I only know what I have heard, and I never take hearsay at face value, but what they've admitted in public and what they've written about in articles or books gives a pretty clear indication that they lived a biochemically roller coaster rough life for a while. You pay a price for that. Now, if David Bowie and if some of the other people like Glenn Frey would have contacted any one of a number of holistic physicians, holistic nutritionists or nurses, there's a probability that today they would be alive and well, especially those who have backgrounds in anti-aging and would know how to not only undo the damage, but actually repair the damage and rejuvenate and regenerate new DNA. But that was not a choice, from what I understand, that they took. They took orthodox approaches, and unfortunately, they didn't work. This is the latest that I have. Thank you, Mitchell J. Rabin, for sharing this with us. Mitch is host and producer of A Better World radio and TV program, seen by 13 people on the Lower East Side. I'm being optimistic, Mitch. Quote, as you may have heard, Glenn Frey, co-founder and frontman of the popular band The Eagles, recently died from complications from rheumatoid arthritis acute ulcerative colitis, and pneumonia. He was 67. According to band manager Irving Azoff, Fry's rheumatoid arthritis medication played a role in his untimely death. Ashoff reports the colitis and pneumonia were side effects from all the meds. He died from complications of ulcerative colitis after being treated with drugs for his rheumatoid arthritis, which he had had for over 15 years. End quote. Indeed, the drugs commonly prescribed for rheumatoid arthritis are among the dangers that you face on the marketplace. These include prednisone, tumor necrosis factor alpha inhibitors, sold under the names like Humira and Imbrel, and Rumicade. Side effects of these drugs include infection and an increased risk of cancer, harsh anti-cancer drugs like methotrexate, and chronic use of non-steroidal anti-inflammatories and analgesics like Tylenol or aspirin can also result in life-threatening liver and kidney damage. In fact, aspirin is supposed to be killing about 25 to 30,000 people a year. Here's the issue. Why is it that this is an issue when someone famous, no matter what their field of fame is sickened, but this is not an issue when the average person who is not famous succumbs? I believe that all life is sacred, and therefore we should pay some attention, some serious attention, to the entire medical paradigm. And in that context, I'm, along with our two scholars in residence, writing the most definitive report ever published on what works and does not work within medicine. Now, because we're only using orthodox medicine's own peer-reviewed literature, and it must come from respected institutions, but the trouble is no one ever reads these things. No one knows how to read them. They just see a headline, or they see a sales pitch by a drug detail person or a professor who's being paid at a continuing education conference, and they assume that it's good, effective, and great. They don't have the background to understand, is it a well-designed study? You have to have background in research methodology to understand that. So we do. So we will be showing you every major class of disease by profession: rheumatology, neurology, hematology, cardiology, gastroenterology, and toxicology. All of these, and we'll go into them and show you what works and doesn't work. And the first one of those appears, I believe, in about 2 weeks. It's in final review now. Finally today, I mentioned yesterday that Harvard School of Public Health study that women who eat more high-fiber foods during adolescence and young adulthood, especially lots of fruits and vegetables, may have a significantly lower breast cancer risk than those who eat less dietary fiber. And I've gotten a lot of feedback on that, positive feedback, and people want to know which were the best foods. Wait, here are the foods that you should have: a combination of nuts and seeds, tubers, and most people don't eat tubers, like kohlrabi, rutabaga, parsnips, right? Legumes and pulses, lentils, split peas, beans, whole grains, leafy and starchy vegetables, and garlic and onions, and then all your fruits. These are your good fibers. And these are the fibers that detoxify and help and cleanse the system. Now, separately from that, from the University of Nebraska, a high fiber intake can improve lung function. So eating a fiber-rich, I'm talking about 40 to 50 grams of fiber a day, may protect you against lung disease. Now, we have people right now listening from China and Indonesia. We're heard all over the world. You have a lot of air particulate pollution now, some that you will see and some that seems invisible, but it's still present. So you need to protect yourself. So I would be using at least 40 to 50 grams of fiber a day, plus I'd be juicing, plus I'd be taking vitamin C, probably right up to bowel tolerance every day. That will help you. Quote, this is from the study published in the Annals of the American Thoracic Society. Lung disease is an important public health problem, so it's important to identify modifiable risk factors for prevention. This is the professor of medical nutrition at University of Nebraska School of Medicine. And so they talk about fiber. And there they have it. High fiber, you're protecting your lungs. And that's good. Also, parents and teachers are unaware of the mental benefits of a good nutrition in childhood. And this is from University of Surrey in the United Kingdom. Quote, there is less awareness among parents and teachers of the importance of diet for children's brain development compared to physical benefits. And this is according to the researchers. And this was published in the British Journal of Nutrition. Quote, our study found that larger proportions of parents and teachers regarded diet to be an important determinant of physical development, but not mental development. 80% of teachers and parents thought diet was an important part of physical development, but not the brain. So here's the deal. When you as a parent or a teacher understand how much information exists in the quality literature about the significance of those nutrients on your brain, getting rid of the caffeine and sugar, big benefit to calming a kid down, just calming. Kava, catnip, valerian root, all natural herbs you can use as a tea that will also give the kid energy but keeps him calm. Getting rid of energy drinks calms him down. Giving him a B complex each day, depending upon their age, you would give them the milligrams as desired, but that helps the brain. Giving him complex carbohydrates, like a nice oatmeal or millet or barley breakfast, and mix in a scoop of walnut butter or almond butter or cashew butter, put in a little bit of flaxseed oil and hemp seed oil, put in some berries, some grapes, some blueberries, some rice milk. You've got a great protein-rich, fiber-rich, phytonutrient-rich, antioxidant-rich breakfast is going to keep their blood sugar stable so they won't go up and then down. That okay, and then drowsy. Because a teacher doesn't understand what's going on in the kid's biochemistry and can then direct them, say, Johnny's having a problem. Maybe Johnny needs some help. Or maybe Johnny shouldn't be staying up to the hours Johnny wants. Maybe there should be actually something called good parenting. Good parenting, we don't have anything on good parenting in America. We don't have a modern-day Dr. Spock. We need to re-examine the role of a child trying to raise themselves. And they can't. They need some appropriate boundaries. They need guidance. They need to understand why. So it's not they feel deprived. And also there's something more in raising a child than A, buying their love, that's the upper middle class, or B, making them feel good about everything. We're not going to feel good about everything. So how you feel is not the primary criteria for how you face the reality of life. If how we felt about things were all that mattered, we would have no colonies beyond the Mississippi or the Missouri River. Because I can assure you, it didn't feel good what they were doing to found America. I'm Gary Nall. Back in a moment. Please stay with us.
If you want something to play with, go and find yourself a toy. Baby, my time is too expensive, and I'm not a little boy. If you are serious.
Nice to have you with us, everyone. I'm Gary Nall, broadcasting on the road, not in our studios. I'll be finished up in the next 8 weeks, and then you'll see what I've been working on. We're going to go in a few moments to a very important, and I can promise you the mainstream media is not going to touch this at all, and that is we're going to look at Pandora's box. This new pandemic, the Zika, Z-I-K-A virus outbreak, could have been done because of the genetically modified mosquitoes. They say no. We say it's entirely possible. I'll explain that. But first, I realize I haven't had a special in, oh my goodness, what, 6 weeks? So I'm going to give you a super special today. I'm going to give you what we're calling our antioxidant phytonutrient package. You're getting two products. The first product is grape stuff. It's raw, all natural, and what I've done is, and this is the big 500 gram container, it's vegan, it's non-GMO, it's gluten-free, but I put in here what I think Americans would really benefit from, and that is grape seed extract, grapes, grape skin, the resveratrol, apple, oats, vitamin C, cranberries, beets, and natural grape flavor and stevia. So I only got 56 calories. It's got 10 grams of fiber in a single serving. And it's got 50 milligrams of resveratrol in each serving. And it tastes phenomenal. And it should. It's grapes. So this is just so powerful. Now, yeah, people can have a glass of wine. Good luck with that. To get the amount of resveratrol in one serving, you'd have to have about 10 glasses of wine. You might feel better after 10 glasses of wine, but this is a lot better for you. So this is the ultimate, and I won't make claims. I always stop short of making any claims. If I told you what I know grape stuff does, the phones would blast off the hooks because you want to have it in your body every day. I know I do. Two or three times a day, I take my grape stuff. So that's one special, grape stuff. And I've only mentioned, I think, once before, so it's a phenomenal new addition to the stuff line. And the other product is called Power Berry Blast. Also raw, all-natural, antioxidant-rich, also the big size. And it also has tons of fruit in it. You're getting blueberries, superfood, raspberries, superfood, black currants, really superfood, cranberries, great, goji berries, superfood, SCI, superfood, bilberries, superfood, aronia, top of my list, superfoods, A-R-O-N-I-A. Just look it up on the internet and look at all the things it does, and you know why I put it in here. Cherry juice, superfood, elderberry, one of the supreme things you could put in your body, in my opinion, strawberries. Strawberries are right up there against every other berry and even topping them. Blackberries, camu, noni, superfood, pineapples, guava, bananas, quercetin, and a natural berry flavor. And stevia. For just a subtle amount of non-caloric sweetener. It's only 52 calories. So you talk about having two things together, the Power Berry Blast and the grape stuff. Put a scoop of each of that in your favorite beverage or mix it in to, you know, your morning hot dish or cold dish, like a cereal. It gives you a tremendous benefit inside your body. Your cells, your brain cells, your lung cells will say thank you for caring about our needs. It's vegan, gluten-free, and non-GMO. And it's packed with phytonutrients, antioxidants. the things that we do not understand completely, but we know it sure does make a difference in all the studies. Now, you can take any one of the things I just mentioned are in here and look it up on the internet, and you'll see all of the studies of why it's so important that we consume these. So here's the deal. It's a simple one. Grape Stuff, Power Berry Blast. You could purchase them separately. That's fine. But today, when you purchase them together, you're not paying $229.98. You're paying $149.99. That's a huge savings. What is that, like an $80 savings? For two of the finest, healthiest, most powerful creations I've ever put into a jar for this audience. Power Berry Blast, tastes delicious. Grape Stuff, phenomenal. It has to go with what's in there, and I know what's in there, and I know what it does, as a must use. Now, there's two ways of getting it today. First, we're putting in a brand new phone system today, one that will make it a lot more difficult for hackers to hack, which they've been doing recently. I understand. I don't get angry about it. You haven't heard me upset about it. Sometimes you tune in, you find that certain things are not what you expect. And because we go after a lot of people. Whoever is out there doing something wrong, we're going to find them and we're going to challenge them. They have capacity to fight back, trying to crash down our Progressive Radio Network. I could understand why. If you got 256 million visits in a year and you're getting 1 million people a day listening in, that represents a threat to them. So anything you can do, trolls galore, spread misinformation on the internet, we know they're going to do that. But we're just making it more difficult. So a brand new phone system that our tech people took almost 6 months to create, that now they do anything, we're going to know who's doing it, where they're at. Not so easy to hide in the cyber world because we're becoming very aggressive going after them now. We'll find them. But this way you can call in. You can call. They're fixing it right now, so it should be done within the hour. 877-627-5065. That's our normal call-in number, 877-627-5065. However, just in case it's not quite fixed yet, we have a whole team there working on it, I'll give you a direct line to Bill, who is one of our persons who takes your call. There's Bill, and there's also Diane. And Bill's number is 800-240-1494. 1-800-240-1494. And again, I make Grape Stuff. I put a scoop of Grape Stuff in with some crushed ice, and then I put the coconut water in, and I blend it, especially after a hot workout. Man, is it tasty. It is so good. And you can even make Grape Stuff popsicles. You just make the juice, as I just mentioned, and you put it in those little containers and freeze them, and then you have that something that will quench your thirst. But from kids on, and the older you are, the more I believe you need Grape Stuff and Power Berry Blast, the two superstars in our line every day. So first, write this number down, because hopefully as of later today, they won't be able to crash that service anymore. 877-627-5065, 877-627-5065, and you're saving $80. Big savings. So I haven't done a special in 6 weeks. Now you get a super special. Or, once again, if for some reason it's not working yet or you don't get a human being, you will get Bill. 1-800-240-1494. Now, Bill always tries to make jokes. Please don't laugh out of courtesy because Bill thinks he's funny. Bill, don't make any jokes. 1-800-240-1494. We like Bill, even though he's not funny. Now, let's say hello to Luann Panessi. Hi, Luann.
Hello, Gary.
Yeah.
Okay, good information on Bill. All right. Well, listen,
what we're going to do is this.
What?
I only have one opportunity this year, in the next 12 months, to do a retreat. And we're doing this retreat in April. We're doing the retreat from April 17th for 1 week, unless we get filled, and then we'll do it 2 weeks. And it'll be at a beautiful location near Arkansas, up in the mountains. Beautiful lakes and eagles, and it's one of the most sustainable, beautiful, complete areas of the United States, virtually unseen and unknown by most people. The waters there that people are drinking come from the underground aquifer that has been used by the natives in the area for over 700 years. It was famous for what it did for them. And so people will be getting classes in gardening, in sustainability, in health, lectures every night. You're going to be counseling people each day. John Q's going to be showing them how to do workouts. We're going to take them on beautiful walks down the country roads where you'll see bucolic scenes like out of a Norman Rockwell painting, where you'll see horses and cows in the pastures, rolling pastures. It's just magnificent. Gardens, and at that time of year, everything is in bloom. Just so many flowers are blooming. The magnolias are blooming. One of the biggest magnolia trees I've seen in America was planted back in the 1920s. It's huge. Peach trees, pear trees, and of course, there's a whole orchard there and of over 80 different variety of fruits growing around the lake, and we allow people to go out and pick whatever they want. And lectures in the Socrates Garden. This is no ordinary garden. This is an all-marble palazzo, much like you would find in Venice, with beautiful marble columns and statues and water fountains. And we do lectures there because it's just the energy is so palpably vibrating. You can't help but feel good. Wake up and you smell the air, and it's so clean and fresh with no pollution around. And the meals are gourmet and vegan. The cooking classes, so you can take some of these ideas home with you. So in the butterfly house, where you'll go and spend time, we bring new butterflies in, watch as they lay their eggs. After those eggs are laid, they're let out and fly away. And then when those hatch, and they lay more eggs and they fly out. So there's a constant exchange, and the place is flooded with butterflies. And just to sit in an environment, listen to meditation music, and have monarch butterflies all over your body, on your head, on your nose, it just chills you out. And meditation classes, sitting over the lake and looking out of a lake with beautiful white trumpeter swans and their babies swimming around the lake. And the lake water is so clear. You can go down and look, and you just see the bottom. And sometimes you see fish that are 40 inches long. And then you do yoga in another hut overlooking the lake. There's just no place like it on the planet. We've got the greatest staff. We call people. It was kind of fun, like, because last night I took a break, and after the Progressive Radio Hour, which I hope people heard, it was a very powerful show, and I wanted to see about Bernie Sanders and whether or not he was going to challenge the voting fraud of the Clinton group that was alleged in Iowa. And I switching the channel there, and there I came across The Sting, with a wonderful film with Paul Newman and Robert Redford. And they put together this whole group, and they all had fun. And I was thinking how much fun it is when you have a group that you put together occasionally and you do something good. We get together from people who come from California, Washington State. One person comes from, Linda comes from the outback of Colorado Mountains, where she lives with no running water. I mean, she's really a wilderness woman. And we get the most unusually gifted people who bring their resources together because they want to help people. And for that 1 week or 2 weeks, we're all working towards one cause, helping people to be able to make the changes they need in their life so that when they leave there, they can go home and keep that energy going. It's all about energy. So that's what's going to be done. And then I want people to hear a few comments from our last retreat. So I'll ask our engineer to play a few clips, please.
Hi, Hi, my name is Barbara. I'm a nurse for many years. I was with Gary on a retreat this past week. First of all, I am more focused, more empowered, more clear regarding the direction I want to go, and have more tools to get there. If you have not been to Gary's retreat, the awesome beauty and energy of natural environment of this retreat is so soothing and healing and permeates your being. The spirit of the staff, their talents, their skills, their caring nature, as well as the other retreatants who themselves are on their own unique journey and have their own gift. All of these on the campus and combined with Gary's amazing energy work. I cannot thank you enough for that, Gary. And the inspirational talks enabled me to break through a lot of blockages that I had not been able to break through in terms of my body and my spirit. I am so grateful that Gary is willing, able, and so gracious, and to offer this opportunity for growth and healing. So much happens on it, and it's not to be missed. Oh, my goodness. There are people that came there with many challenges, physical challenges, and emotional or spiritual, I'm not sure how I would put it, but they had such improvement in their physical capabilities, and also breakthroughs in negativity to open them up to their own growth. There was amazing support among the staff and the interaction of the other retreatants. It was an extraordinary experience. The menus had flavors in them that you just could not imagine. They were just, one was more delicious than the other. And there was a variety of styles, a variety of foods. And you really, you felt nourished, and you truly enjoyed it.
My name is Gwen, and I just spent a week at a retreat where Gary spent a lot of time talking to us and helping us understand the importance of having goals. And the major thing that I came away from after a week is to have a stronger determination and understand what I truly need in order to be able to meet the goals of our future and where we're headed. And my weakest link, I think, is my physical strength and flexibility. So for me personally, what I've come away with after a week is understand how I can build my own strength. Due to problems with my knees, I'm not able to do as many exercises as I would like. So John Q spent a wonderful session with us where we saw him working out in the pool. And for me, that is the place to start so I can build strength and flexibility. Because one of the things Gary said that we are only as strong as our weakest link. And my weakest link, strength, is my physical strength and flexibility. So that is one place to start. Clarity in my thinking is also a good goal for me. Focusing on the truth, which is the reason I listen to Gary, is because he does tell the truth. I believe he is honest, and I want to build a strong foundation for myself based on what is the most important, and that is my goal. You know, there were so many things we learned and so much insight that there are certainly many aspects to that week where I need to work to improve. But I'm starting with my physical strength because I know I need that in order to reach all the other goals. And I did get a lot of ideas on what I can do at home. There were several things that I'm anxious to try. And the food was mostly, well, all vegetarian and organic and delicious. And one of the cooks spent some time giving us a lecture on ways that we can improve in the food. Exercising was fun every morning. We got on the track, and I was able to increase the number of times around the track. Not as much as I would have liked to, but I improved. And that's the goal, to build on a day-to-day basis our strength, flexibility, and clarity in our thinking so that we can reach a higher level of understanding and our goals. John Q was wonderful with exercise. We worked in the gym. He flexibility, stretching every day before we walked on the track. The pool exercise was really good because I know that's where I can start to build strength and flexibility. I enjoyed it so much. It was so worth it. I can't wait to go again. I have goals for myself to work on between now and the next retreat.
My name is Bill, and I just finished a retreat with Gary Knoll. The number one takeaway that I was able to receive is that I was around people that had an extremely positive energy. In fact, the most worthwhile aspect of it was that I was surrounded by caring, love, and kindness, people with very little or no ego. And why that's so important is that when you're able to harmonize with people like that, magic happens. And this particular group of people, it was a small group, let's just say around 20 or so, because everyone is at this, has this same mindset. By the end of the week, we become like a family. So now the energy, you know, moves out from there. Hopefully, you know, great things will happen because of it. And this is not just guests, but also the people that were the volunteers. We were all, and everyone there was able to come together. We're just very pleased about that. We're looking to just have a great being, kindness, peaceful energy moving forward through life. Things will happen exactly how they're supposed to.
So those are just some of the voices of people and the changes, and those were not even the most remarkable stories. I intentionally didn't want to air five people's testimonials because, quite frankly, I don't think people would believe it, some of the changes that have occurred. But I'll have them on the air so they can be on a talkback, so you can actually call in and ask them questions. Then you'll hear their stories, and then you'll have a chance to say, is that possible? Well, it's possible because it happens every time, but we'll save that. Luann, final thoughts.
Well, Gary, I've had the distinct privilege and pleasure to be a part of these retreats, and every time I attend one, I come back even more fulfilled, and I understand why people like to come back a second and third time, because once you break through the initial, what I call that hypnotic trance, and you understand, you have a deeper understanding as to who, where you're at on your journey and what you need to do to really propel yourself forward, it is a joy to watch people go through that transformation when they're surrounded by wonderful people, delicious food, the beauty of nature, animals, birds. All of these things together, it's not one thing, it's the whole package. It's just one of the best facets of my career is as a nurse, is being here with these people and watching them on their journey.
And Luann, we even had a physician there, and we had a nurse practitioner at the last one, both of whom the physician said that had she not been there, she would not have believed what she experienced. Because in her medical model, it wasn't possible, and yet it happened. And because she was there and could question the people things happened to, she said she could not go back home with the old mindset. She had to start to adjust her mindset. Let's see what happens with that. I'll invite her on the program to share her insights after she's had time for to see if she can incorporate any of the lessons she learned at our retreat into her regular cancer practice. So give your number, and also before you do that, you spent about 2 months contacting every health retreat, spa in the country and around the world. What would something like this normally cost a person?
Oh, easily $5,000 to $8,000 a week minimally. With what you're getting the one-on-one personal training, you're getting health counseling, that alone is worth over $500. You're getting gourmet organic cuisine from world-class chefs. These aren't just random people. These are very, very well-trained organic vegan chefs. You're getting classes on sprouting. We have art classes, and oh, some of the things that people produced, people didn't realize they were so gifted. So many wonderful things that we're offering for people. It would easily go for at least $5,000 to $7,000. for a week.
And we're charging, including, that includes your hotel and everything once you are there, except for your airfare and the transportation to the event. It's $2,500. So give Luann a call if you'd like to join us. We like to keep the group small so everyone gets personalized attention. Again, April 17th for a week. Unless that fills up, then we'll do a second week. I can only do 2 weeks. I can't do more than that. And I can only do this once this year. So give your number out, Luann.
Yes, it's 631-504-6198. Again, 631-504-6198. And I interview everyone to make sure this is going to be the right venue for them.
Okay, I don't have time today to talk about the article I wanted to, if there are no new farmers, who will grow our food. But Luann, we'll have you back on tomorrow to discuss this, because I'm sure there are a lot of people out there who don't realize it costs a lot to get started for the majority of farms, and most of those don't make a profit. The average value of land and buildings is $1,075,000. Most people don't have that. So how can a person who wants to get back to the land do so? It'll be very instructive, and it'll be an opportunity. So we'll talk about that tomorrow, okay?
Excellent.
Thank you, Luann. Give your number one more time.
Yes, 631-504-6198. That's 631-504-6198.
Thank you. Now, in this segment of our program, I'm going to quote Oliver Tickle from Counterpunch, an article we've posted today on our internet site, on my Facebook also, on Progressive Network as well. Pandora's Box, How Genetically Modified Mosquitoes Could Have Caused the Zika Virus Outbreak. And it says this. Some of it's a little technical. I'll skip over the real technical part, and I'll keep it to its conclusions. Epidemiologists have found a convincing correlation between the incidence of the natal deformities and the maternal infections of the Zika virus, first discovered in Uganda's Zika Valley in 1947, which normally produces non-serious illness. The correlation has been evidenced through the geographical distribution of Zika infections in the wave of deformities. Zika virus has also been detected in the amniotic fluids and other tissues of the affected babies and their mothers. This latter finding was recently reported by A.S. Oliveira Mello and a scientist in a scientific paper published in the Ultrasound and Obstetrics and Gynecology, which noted evidence of intrauterine infection. They also warned, quote, as with other intrauterine infections, it's possible that the reported cases of the microcephaly represent only the more severely affected children, and that newborns with less severe disease affecting not only the brain but also other organs have not yet been diagnosed, end quote. The Brazilian health minister, Marcelo Castro, says he has, quote, 100% certainty that there is a link between Zika and microcephaly. His view is supported by the medical community worldwide, including the U.S.'s CDC. Mello and associates draw attention to a mystery that lies at the heart of this affair. And quote, as changes in the virus have been reported, remember, this is crucial. This is one of those raise a red flag. As changes in the virus have been reported, the possibility of a new, more virulent strain needs to be considered. Until more cases are diagnosed and histopathological proof is obtained, the possibility of other etiological cannot be ruled out, end quote. And this is the key question. How, if indeed Zika really is the problem, as it appears likely, did this relatively innocuous virus acquire the ability to produce these terrible malformations in unborn human babies? And then there's an article by Clara Burnish, published last week in Antimedia, draws attention to an interesting aspect of the matter which has escaped all mainstream media attention: the correlation between the incidence of Zika and the area of release of a genetically modified Aedes mosquito engineered for male sterility. Now, the purpose of the releasing of these mosquitoes, which were genetically engineered, is to see if control populations, the mosquitoes, which are the vector of dengue fever, the potentially lethal disease, the same species also transmits Zika virus. So back in 2011 and 2012, in the Itaberaba suburb of the city in northwest East Brazil, which is about 500 kilometers west of the coastal city, the experiment was written up in July of 2015. So we're talking about something that's only 5 months old in the journal PLOS Neglected Tropical Diseases in a paper entitled Suppression of a Field Population of the Mosquito in Brazil by Sustained Release of Transgenic Male Mosquitoes by Danilo Carvalho. Now, they initially let go of 30,000 mosquitoes per week. And that was between the 19th and the 29th of June, 2011. Then they let go of 540,000 per week in early 2012. And at the time of it, the scientists claimed, quote, listen carefully, effective control of a wild population of that mosquito by sustained release of OX513A males, we diminished the population by 95% based on adult trap data and 78% based upon ova trap indices compared with the adjuvant no release control area, end quote. So then why worry? The idea of the Oxitec mosquitoes is simple enough. The males produce non-viable offspring, which means they all die. So the genetically modified mosquitoes are self-extinguishing, and the altered genes cannot survive in the wild population. It's all very nice and clean and clever. That's what the New York Times would love to print. You know, let's wrap a bow around that. Not so fast. In fact, it is not that simple. In 2010, geneticist Ricardo Steinbecker wrote to the biosafety regulator in Malaysia, also considering, at that time, Malaysia was going to release the Oxitec, O-X-I-T-E-C, Oxitec mosquitoes that had been genetically engineered. And he had all these safety concerns. He pointed out a study in 2007 in PHUC et al. That 3-4% of the first-generation mosquitoes actually survive. Uh-oh, not good. So it's not 100% of your genetically modified mosquitoes produce sterile offspring and then they all die. You've got 3-4% that survive. Well, now that raises a lot of issues. The genetic engineering method employed by Oxitec allows the popular antibiotic tetracycline to be used to repress the lethality during the breeding. Because if they didn't, then no mosquitoes would breed. They would all the genetically engineered mosquitoes would die, but the wild mosquitoes would thrive. But as a side effect, the lethality is also reduced by the presence of tetracycline in the environment. And as Bernish points out, Brazil is among the world's biggest users of antimicrobials, including tetracycline, the antibiotic, in its commercial farming sector. Quote from his study. As a study by the American Society of Agronomy et al. Explained, it is estimated that approximately 75% of antibiotics are not absorbed by animals and are excreted in waste. One of the antibiotics or antimicrobials specifically named in that report for its environmental persistence is tetracycline. In fact, it is a confidential internal Oxitec document divulged in 2012 that survival rate could be as high as 15%, even with low levels of tetracycline present. Quote, from their study, this is their own internal document. Even small amounts of tetracycline can repress the engineered lethality. Indeed, that 15% survival rate was described by Oxitec, end quote. She then quotes the leaked Oxitec paper. This is directly from Oxitec. This is something the world has not seen, didn't know about. No governmental agency knew this. No media picked up on it. Quote, after a lot of testing and comparing experimental design, it was found that the researchers had used a cat food to feed the OX513A larva, and this cat food contained chicken. It is known that tetracycline is routinely used to prevent infections in chickens, especially in the cheap, mass-produced chicken used for animal food. The chicken is heat-treated before being used, but this does not remove all the tetracycline. This meant that a small amount of tetracycline was being added from the food to the larva and repressing the designed lethal system, end quote. So in other words, just so that this audience understands, there is a very possibility for Oxytec's modified genetically engineered genes to persist in wild populations of that particular mosquito, especially in the environment presence of tetracycline, which is widely present in sewage, septic tanks, contaminated water, and farm runoff, all of which are breeding grounds for mosquitoes. And then you have what is called the promiscuous jumping genes. What do I mean? On the face of it, there is no obvious way in which the spread of Oxytec's genetically modified mosquitoes into the wild could have anything to do with Brazil's wave of microphthalmia. Actually, there is. The problem may arise from the use of what is called a transposon, that's called a jumping sequence, jumping genes they were called. It's a sequence of DNA used in the genetic engineering process to introduce the new genes into the target organism. There are several such DNA sequences in use, and one of the most popular is known as piggyback, P-I-G-G-Y-B-A-C. Now, as a 2001 review article by Dr. Mei Wan Ho shows, piggyback is notoriously active, inserting itself into genes by way beyond what it was intended to target. Quote, these promiscuous transposons have found special favor with genetic engineers whose goal was to create universal systems for transferring genes into any and every species on Earth. Almost none of the geneticists have considered the hazards involved. It would seem obvious that integrated transposon vectors may easily jump out again to another site in the same genome or to the genome of unrelated species. There are already signs that in the transposon piggyback used in the GM bollworms to be released by the USDA this summer. The piggyback transposon was discovered in cell cultures of the moth and the cabbage looper, where it caused high rates of mutations in a particular virus infecting the cells by jumping into its genes. The transposon was later found to be active in a wide range of species, including fruit fly, the mosquito-transmitting yellow fever, and the medfly, and the original host, the cabbage looper. The piggyback vector gave high frequency of transpositions, 37 times higher than, that's 3,700%, by the way, than Mariner, and nearly 400% higher than Hermar, end quote. So in a later 2014 report, Dr. Mei Wan Ho, H-O, returned to the theme with additional detail and fresh specific evidence. Quote, the piggyback transposon was discovered in cell culture of the moth, the cabbage looper, where it caused high rates of mutations in the infecting the cells by jumping into its genes. There's also evidence that the disabled piggyback vector carrying the transgene, even when stripped down to the bare minimum of the border repeats, was nevertheless able to replicate and spread because the transponase enzyme enabled the piggyback inserts to move and can be provided by transposons present in all genomes. Now, I realize this is very technical. I just wanted to let you know that there are scientists publishing in peer-reviewed literature, but nobody was paying attention. Nobody cared. So here's what we have to ask in conclusion. Has the genetically modified nightmare finally come true? So down to the key question, was Oxytec's genetically modified male sterile mosquito released in the exact area where this epidemic is occurring? Did it in any way end up with this piggyback transposon? Yes, it was. And that creates a highly significant possibility that Oxitec's release of genetically modified mosquitoes led directly to the development of Brazil's microcephaly epidemic through the following mechanisms. One, many of the millions of Oxitec genetically modified mosquitoes released in that exact area in 2011-2012 survived, assisted but not dependent upon the presence of tetracycline in the environment. Two, those mosquitoes interbreed with wild populations and their novel genes become widespread. Three, the promiscuous piggyback transposon now present in the local mosquito population takes the opportunity to jump into the Zika virus, probably on numerous occasions. Number four, in the process, certain mutated strains of Zika acquire selective advantage, making them more virulent and giving them an enhanced ability to enter and disrupt human DNA. Five, one way in which this manifests is by disrupting a key stage in the development of human embryos in the womb, causing microcephaly and other reported deformities. And number six, it may be that the piggyback transposon has itself entered the DNA of babies exposed in utero in the modified Zika virus. Indeed, this may form part of the mechanisms by which embryonic development is disrupted. And in the latter case, one implication is that the action of the gene could be blocked by giving pregnant women tetracycline in order to block its activity. The chances of success are probably low. So, while I'm certain that this should be looked at, I'm not saying unequivocally this is what happened. I'm merely giving something of an opinion that is not being even considered, because the one thing American medicine, American government, its agencies will not do, they will not challenge the legitimacy, safety, and efficacy of anything involving genetic engineering. And we've seen that from all of our efforts to try to get states to label genetically engineered food. And yet they're releasing genetically modified mosquitoes with no follow-up. And yet we showed you today there's proof that they weren't 100% dead. There was a percentage that survived. And now we have, possibly, an epidemic, a pandemic that they caused. Imagine the blowback against the geneticists, the biotech industry, the government regulatory agencies. And they're not indemnified. They can be sued. I'm Gary Knoll. Thank you all for listening. I look forward to sharing more tomorrow. Have a nice day.